Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Dave, I want to thank you for filling in for me last week. Isn't it great to have faithful people in the church? Thank you. I really appreciate it. I know the people were blessed, and I tell you what, we keep going forward, don't we?
That's right.
Amen? We're going forward. And I tell you what, brothers and sisters, what is this?
Threat.
A what?
Threat.
A what?
Threat.
What do you do with them?
Yeah.
There you go. I want to encourage you so I don't forget again. Hand one of these out this week.
Right.
You know, this week I prayed and I said, Lord, I want to hand a track out to somebody personally this week, but I want to talk to them first. So I ended up talking to a young guy by the name of Zach. And it's really unique how the Holy Ghost works. Because I'm walking there, I'm getting some coffee from a deal, and this young guy, Zach, is talking to another guy about he's having horrible dreams about zombies. I thought, whoa, cue time. This is the dude. This is it. And so he was telling about how he's having these horrible nightmares, and everybody was telling another guy, but I thought it was for me to hear it. So I stood there, and I had a track, and when he got done, the other guy walked away, so I walked up to Zach, and I said, Zach, you're having dreams about zombies. How? Why would you be having dreams about zombies every night? He says, well, he says, I'm kind of into them. I said, you're into dead people, huh? And he said, yeah. And I said, you know, the scriptures teach us, and I quoted the scripture, it tells them that we're not to be talking to dead people. Make a long story short, I went in, I preached the gospel to him, and he stood there, and I could see he was absorbing it like a sponge. And because of where I was and everything, I pulled out a tract and I said, I'd like you to read this and take it to some consideration. I already gave him the salvation message verbally, too. His heart's hungry. I told Zach before he left, I'm going to be praying for you, Zach. I'm going to pray that God will speak to your heart. And he thanked me for it and everything. He took my tract and he said, I'll read it. And I'll follow up with the guy. But I tell you, there's nothing greater than passing the track out and giving the gospel message to a lost world. Amen? But I tell you, if you really want to be used of God, this is an opportunity right here. That's why we put them out here. You don't have to use these. You can get your own, too, if you don't like any of these tracks, too. Amen?
Yeah.
Everybody get excited now, but I got some out here.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, my wife and I missed everybody last week. We missed you so much, we drove all the way to South Dakota. Praise the Lord. You know something, brothers and sisters? I just have I keep telling you, I'm going to keep telling you too. I believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to my heart, many hearts today. We're living in some precarious times. Things are moving, things are happening week after week, and they're getting closer and closer together. And the messages that I ask the Holy Spirit to guide and to help me to preach here are messages that are going to take us through these times. Amen?
Amen.
Don't we need those?
Yes.
I'm not going to preach on how you can get so wealthy that you don't even know how to spend your money anymore. I'm not going to do that. Because it leads to nowhere. But you know something? Some of the stuff I preach may not be something you even want to hear, or maybe you want to say, would you quit meddling all the time? But you know something? Those are the things that the Holy Ghost, if that's what you're saying, that's what the Holy Ghost wants you to hear. Amen? Because we want to get through this time. I believe the trumpet's going to sound shortly. I don't have a day or an hour, but Jesus told us how we can know the season in which we live, and I believe we're oh so close to it. We're so close to it. Lots of things are happening. I even listened to Fox News this morning, what's happening in Israel. They're gearing up even more and more their defense right now against Iran because they think it's getting closer and closer, the nuclear bomb thing, and Syria's heating up. And we know, and I believe the Middle East is an explosive area today, and we should keep our eyes on Israel. Watch what Israel's doing and listen, because that is the cue right there. Jesus is coming. We got to be ready spiritually, don't we?
Yes.
Otherwise, we're going to fall asleep. and not know when the rapture happens. And I believe there is a rapture because Jesus said there's one. And he doesn't lie. Today I'm going to preach on make-believe Christians. That's an important message because when I made that statement about the chicken filet, a lot of people say, well, boy, if I go, not everybody naturally, but there's people who probably thought, well, if I go buy a chicken filet sandwich, I may get to go to heaven because I supported this thing. I don't know. It's a foolishness that we think sometimes because we always think we're so wonderful and so good. And we're not. We're not. And we have to realize it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. I said it this morning to when we were praying too. Everybody sitting in here this morning, we're not here to come together to lift each other's up. We can encourage one another, but we're here to lift Jesus up. We're here to worship Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the one that wants us to come and give him the glory and give him the honor and give him the praise and to give him the thanks. He's the one why we're here today. It's not about anybody else. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Get radical in your amens if you want. I won't get scared. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. First Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits in doctrines of devils. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You know, when you read that seared with a hot iron, that means it was deliberately done, consciously done. They're doing it on purpose to deceive today. And people aren't aware of it. And that's a scary deal. We got people walking around thinking that the Lord overlooks sin, that we can do anything we want, and if we do this and we do that, we're going to make it to heaven. That is not the gospel. It's not it at all. And we need to check our hearts out, and I'm going to keep preaching on that in the days we live right now because we're in serious times, and the deceitfulness that is going on today is so incredible, it's unbelievable. There's so many people that think they're so wonderful and they're being told how wonderful they are, that they're friends and all the good, sweet words. In reality, we need to clean up our act and be ready for the trumpet. Amen? Amen. And you know, if a pastor speaks that to me, I'm not mad at that pastor. I don't get upset and think, boy, what a negative. You know, Dave Wilkerson was always accused of being a doomsday preacher. I never thought he was. Every time I get his newsletter, and if I heard him preach, I had my ears fastened on it because I knew God had given him a message to help warn me and to help get my life in order should Jesus come at that moment. That brother's in heaven right now, and he did a great work, but he's only there because of Jesus. Amen? Natural lions, it says in 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. He's walking around, believe me. And brothers and sisters, he walks in churches too. He walks amongst the pews. He walks everywhere. That's what Satan does. You know, 2 weeks ago I made a comment on when the fire goes out. When the fire goes out. Jude 1:21. When the fire goes out, lions feed, don't they? It says in Jude 1:21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You keep the fire going by meeting with the Lord in prayer and daily Bible reading and study. That's how we keep the fire going. And then I like to say witnessing too. That keeps you up. That keeps you fired. Satan, the lion, is quick to take advantage of those who allow the fire to go out. He goes at them right away. I know many people through my Christian life that used to be on fire for Jesus, and they let the fire go out, and they just didn't let the fire go out and walk around just being sweet little Christians that do nothing. Satan went in there for the kill. And many of them are so deep back into the world and never want to darken a church again. They don't want fellowship. They don't even want to hear about Jesus. And that's why you and I need to guard our hearts in this hour that we live in. Where the word is disobeyed, lions feed. Ephesians 2:2 says, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. See, the children of God who become independent and disobey the Father's word soon find themselves lost in darkness and surrounded by the devil and demonic forces. That's what happens when we disobey the word of God. It does. Where authority is rebelled, lions feed. Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls as they that might give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. See, the rebellious saint pays an awful cost for rebellion as they lose their covering and fall prey to the devil. Those who submit to God's chosen leadership remain in the safety of the church body and the guard of the Holy Ghost. Amen? That's when trials and troubles come into your and my life. We don't run away from the church. We don't stay away from the church. If you feel cold in your spirit, you don't stay away from the church. You come to church. And when I say the church, I mean you and I. We come together as the body of Christ, and we get encouragement to go on, don't we? Because you know something? I found out through my life that when I come to church, if I've been discouraged, downtrodden, or something's going on, that many times the Holy Ghost will speak to me through another brother or sister in Christ, or through the pastor, or through something being said that would encourage my heart. But if I hadn't been there, I would have never known. And that's how the lions feed on us when we stay away from the body of Christ. You still with me? I'm with me. Where authority is rebelled, lions feed. No man is fit to rule who is not capable of guiding people safely to heaven. And there's those today that are in pulpits all across this country and around the world that are in pulpits today that are not capable of being behind that pulpit because they will not guide the people to heaven because they won't give them the truth. And they will soften it and deceive people. And the lions are coming in and they're feeding. They're feeding and they don't even realize it. They're surrounded by lions and they don't even know it because the truth is not being preached. Where men are deceived, lions feed. 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. You can have people, preachers, teachers, evangelists, missionaries, whomever, standing in pulpits and preaching and teaching wherever, and they can have a alternative motive to deceive, and you don't even know it, because they will always use enough of the word and use it in a way that God did not intend it for their own purpose. And we have to have the Holy Spirit to help us to know, amen? Because if we don't, the lions are going to feed. And the lions have fed a lot within the church today around the world, because Jesus said it was going to happen. Satan's ministers appear as angels of light. Satan appears as a familiar spirit to deceive men. You ever watch the programs where people talk to dead people? Or they want to conjure up their long-lost Aunt Sally or Uncle Mert? Huh? You ever see those? These people know how to feed them a lie, and it's the most unbelievable thing. But if they do, you know, those are familiar spirits. Those are demons that have been around for centuries and centuries and centuries and know things, and they can demonically, if you're seeking after something, they're going to speak into your heart through deception. And it isn't Uncle Mert that you're talking to. It's Mr. Uncle Demon Mert. Because when you're dead, you're dead. And you can't talk to your dead loved ones anymore. We need to be aware that we do not follow doctrines of devils, lest suddenly the lion turns and slays us. There's a lion after us. His name is Satan, and he's ready to feed on us at every moment. Where the roar succeeds, lions feed. 1 Peter 5:9 says, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." We resist the devil. We resist the demons. If we don't, and his roar so puts fear in us and deceives us, that lion is going to feed on us. He will use fear through his roaring to get our attention on the roar instead of on the God of the universe, the Father, the Creator, the Almighty God, the source of our healing, our help, our everything we have in life. Satan will roar so loud that we will focus on the roar and not focus on our Lord, and he'll feed on us. Because we don't live by fear, the Bible says. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And when the devil roars into your life, if it's a illness, he'll roar into your mind that you're going to die. You're going to die. It's going to get worse. And the roar. And pretty soon you're focused on the fear and the health problem rather than focus on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It says, "I've come to heal you." And you know, one thing that you can always do when that fear comes in, you can say no matter what. There's time in my life when I've said it many times. I said, "Lord, I don't know if I'm going to make it today. I really don't. I don't know if I'm going to make it today. I feel so horrible and awful right now. Lord, I don't know." And I'm this far down the road again. And I said, "Lord, even if I die, I'm going to trust you. But I won't let fear come in." Because I said, "Lord, I believe you're the healer. I believe you're my strength today. I believe you're my help." And when I do that, man, it seems like the victory comes. It gets exciting. Faith pleases God. Fear pleases the devil. He loves fear. Anybody got pets in here? You ever yell at your pet? Little Barkley? Little Barkley, if you yell "Little Barkley," his ears go down and he's fearful. That's the way the devil is with us. He knows some of us that are motivated by fear and his roar, and he's going to feed on us. But I tell you, when that fear comes, you replace it with your faith, amen? And then you resist it according to the scripture. The devil is the deceiver and the author of fear tactics. Man who allows fear to grip him will destroy himself. Saints must resist the devil by standing and believing God to see Satan's plans fall. Satan's plans aren't permanent. God's are. Where there is no defense, lions feed. 1 John 2:14. "I've written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one." Amen. See, the saint must always be armed with the word of God, for Satan is withstood by the word of God. We got to read the word. Don't let somebody else read it for you. You read it. The Holy Ghost wants to work through you. If you're blood-bought, born-again Christian, you have Jesus in you through the Holy Spirit, you need to read the word. That's his word. And it's activated for you. It may be a message that the Holy Ghost only wants to talk to you. Don't look to another man. Don't look to another man or a woman for your answer. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Those who have no word of God in them fall prey to the lion in the fields of life. It's amazing how many Christians won't even quote the word of God. They'll give you organ recitals. They'll give you every kind of thing. They'll give you problems and circumstances, but they'll never quote the word of God. It amazes me. I always ask the Holy Spirit to help me when I'm going through things. I may want to share something with my wife or with a friend or something like that, but at the same time, I always want to quote the word of God and let the devil know I still got the word in me, that I will have the victory. I don't know how, I don't know when, in the circumstance, how it's going to come about, but I know it's going to happen because I got the word in me. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Where the foolish stand, lions feed. Where the foolish stand, lions feed. Proverbs 14:9. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. See, the foolish brother or sister walks so close to the world and the devil, seeing no wrong in its practices or teachings, his or her behavior becomes more liberal and worldly until one day he or she bring themselves too close to the lion's cage to end up and lose their life. And brothers and sisters, we as the body of Christ have to quit getting so close to that cage. And we try to justify worldly things. And we even try to take the Word of God out of context to justify worldly things that we don't want to give up in our life that are damaging to our souls. And you say, well, it isn't damaging to my soul because my faith is strong and it doesn't bother me one bit. But what about other people? What about the weaker Christian that struggles with the very thing that you don't have any problem with? Amen? Ouch! But we have to give answers someday, don't we? So I got to give the truth to you, even if it hurts. Even if you all turn your backs and look at the wall and I'm still preaching, I'm going to keep doing it. Because it's the truth. And I know Jesus is in here because you're all here. The Holy Ghost is in here because you're all here. We're two or three are gathered. He's here. He's listening to me and he's listening to you right now. Isn't that something? You may say, well, boy, Jesus can't hear me because, Lynn, you sure got a big mouth and you're loud. But you want to know something? Your spirit is talking loud to God right now. Your thoughts, the very intent of your heart is speaking loud to Jesus right now. Where the doors are left open, lions feed. Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. We must take heed that we are not overcome with the cares of life. We must be vigilant on guard because the devil seeks those who rest back and become too trustworthy in a world that cannot be trusted. We don't put our trust in this world. Not one bit. This world is going to fail you at one time. It will fail you. The government is not going to give you free health care. The government is not going to give you free housing. The government is not going to give you free whatever. It's a lie. It's pure lie. Only God is your source, and he's everlasting to everlasting. He'll never fail us. And he wants us to put our trust in him and not the arm of flesh. Don't depend on 401ks. Don't depend on all your IRAs and everything else that's out there, because they will fail. Did you know if they want to, we could wake up tomorrow and we can't touch any of that stuff? Will we lose our faith? We shouldn't, because our faith is based upon the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he says, I am the God of the impossible. It's his. He can take care of everything. We need not live in fear. We don't need politicians trying to put fear in us one way or another. We put our trust in Jesus. The lion roars loud in this hour that we're living right now, brothers and sisters. Even Christians are frightened right now. We don't need to be frightened. Because even if we get knocked off, we go to heaven. One way or another, we got it made either way. We got it made. And you know, the persecution is coming and is starting. Look at what happened to our buddy at Chick-fil-A. Our brother, I should say, not buddy, our brother in Christ. Look what happened because he stood for the Word of God. And I tell you what, it's just the tip of the iceberg what's coming down the pike should Jesus tarry. Christians don't realize, those that are playing games with God right now aren't going to be able to stand when true persecution comes. And we got to be ready, amen? You might say, Brother Lynn, you're one paranoid dude. You keep talking about it. But you want to know something? I like what Jesus said. He says, I trust no man. I don't put my trust in man. I put my trust in Jesus. Amen. And I am going to keep talking about these things because I think we kind of let them get out of the way because Satan is roaring so loud that we can't hear the truth of the Word of God anymore because it's all cream pie. It's all smeared with all the good things, how we can experience the good feelings and emotions in the world today and feel good about ourselves and, oh, we're going to make it financially and all this stuff. And you know something? We need to be checking our souls out and asking God, what do I need to do to get my soul right with you and cleaned up before you, before that trumpet sounds or I die? That's what we need to be talking about. See, Matthew 6:33 already tells me the Lord's going to take care of us. So why do I have to worry about having been told how I'm going to be blessed on my job and I'm going to be wealthy like whatever? I don't need that because Jesus said, if you seek ye first my kingdom and my righteousness, all things you have need of are added on. Automatically. If we're doing God's business, he's doing ours.
Amen?
Amen? That's true, isn't it? There's testimonies in here. When you're doing God's business, you realize the things you had concerns about have been taken care of, and you don't even know how it happened. Even in health, sometimes you're walking along, and all of a sudden you fall, oh, man, I'm feeling great today. Whoa. Because the Holy Spirit is moving in your life. And sometimes he allows things to go a little longer than we like because he's doing a work in us. Amen? Where men walk in dark, lions feed. John 12:35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walks in darkness knows not whither he goes. There are two kinds of darkness. Both will lead where lions feed. Worldly darkness is a system in the behavior of the world that promotes greed, sexual lust, and violence, where religious darkness is Satan's counterfeit of the truth. Those are the two darknesses. To walk in either of these paths of darkness is certain death by the lion Satan himself. In the spiritual, demons seek people that are walking in the flesh. Satan cannot overcome anyone that walks in the spirit. If we're walking in the flesh, demonic spirits can eat us alive. We need to be walking in the Spirit. If there's any areas in our life and where they're fleshly and they're worldly and we're walking in them, Satan, the lion, is going to feed on you. At one time, you may get away with it, but at one time, he's going to get you in his jaws at one time. And we need to be careful. We need to be careful. He must deceive them into thinking with a carnal mind, get them to walk in the lust of the flesh so that he can devour their hearts and souls. It's ever constant, brothers and sisters. It's a warfare we're in, aren't we? Isn't that amazing that God talked a lot about warfare and he talked a lot about the weapons of our warfare and the things we need to live the Christian life? See, people who keep telling us all the time to say, man, you Christians are a bunch of weak people. No, true Christians. I'm talking about true born-again, blood-bought, pew-jumping, Holy Ghost-filled Christians. It's a work. It's a hard work. It's a fun work, I think, living for Jesus. It's so much better to wake up in the morning feeling good about yourself. But it's a work that takes a real man and woman of God to live because we are fighting a warfare continually in our minds, in the world around us, in the families and friends and situations. There's a warfare spiritually going on at us continually because Satan's trying to wear us out. He is. He is. He seeks whom he may devour, those with little or no prayer life. He's always after them. With little to no worship, he deceives them not to obey God. The Bible warns that in the last day that many will turn from the truth, the fables, and storytelling, and hope that will not challenge a person to repent or turn from God. And that's what we see happening all around us today. There's no repentance. It's all experiencing God. Experiencing God, emotions, and things like that. And there's no repentance in the heart. There's no conviction of the Holy Spirit anymore that we need. I remember when pastors and preachers, as I was growing in the things of God, boy, they preached on this stuff. And after services, the Holy Spirit didn't come to condemn anybody, but he came to convict. And when people would keep their hearts right with Jesus, because we're leaky vessels, aren't we? We may be strong today, but maybe next week, we really struggle with that thing this week. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit. But it's good to have the power of the conviction of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Without the conviction, you wouldn't know. But see, the conviction's not wanted many places today. The Holy Ghost is told not to move because we want people to be comfortable. And Satan's feeding. The lion is feeding on people. We live in a time where holiness and separation is slowly but surely slipping away, where even older saints are beginning to take a new look at the Bible, asking themselves, is all this necessary to be a Christian? I marvel at older Christians today that can't get it right, that have walked with Jesus for years and are so easily led away because of whatever. I'm amazed. It's by peer pressure, friends, the preacher, whatever, the music, but not the word, not Jesus. They won't listen. They don't want to hear what Jesus has got to say, even about deception. And brothers, sisters, we have to wake up before it's too late. Before it's too late. The more the world we allow in our lives, the further we separate ourselves from the presence of God. Our services wind up being about all of the flesh, music, and hype, where entertainment takes place rather than real worship of God. Where even the older saints are getting lukewarm, not loving the truth anymore. I heard Dr. David Jeremiah, a well-known Baptist pastor, say this last week. He marvels at how many pastors who have lived for Jesus for years no longer will take the word at face value anymore. He said most of the newer pastors, especially coming up today, he said if they don't like something in here, they just simply change it or don't read it or don't give it, or they'll put it the way they want it to be to suit the people they're preaching to. And you know something? I thank God for Dr. Jeremiah, because he's willing to speak that as a national well-known preacher, because that's truly what's happening today, and Jesus is coming. And Satan is eating people alive, sitting in churches. And we need to be careful not to make-believe Christians. We have to be true. We have to be true. Where even the older saints, I'm picking on us older saints, ought to know better. We're to be examples to the younger generations coming up. Not following after God. Disobedient to the shepherds that are trying to lead them to God. No respect in the house of God. We don't have that. A lot of churches, we went into a church over in this part of the metro several months ago, and I'm amazed how you walk in, it's rather than reverencing God, it's more like you walked into a community fun center. And there's people that may, I don't know if there's visitors in there that day that maybe didn't even know Jesus. Or maybe there's brothers and sisters that came from another place that needed a touch in their life because they're burdened down with a death in the family or something going on, but we're too busy being community instead of preaching the Word of God and honoring Him. I tell you what, when I talk about Jesus and talk about His healing, His power, that motivates me. I got to hear that because nothing around me really gives me any excitement like Jesus. And we need to be the church, don't we, brothers and sisters? Deuteronomy 7:21 says, "Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and a terrible God." See, there's four things about Israel's God and our God. Number one, He is Lord, Jehovah, the Eternal One. He's God, the Creator, the Mighty God, the Strong One, the Almighty. He's terrible. How many knew God was terrible? You know what that means? It means one who inspires reverence. Reverence. Fear. He inspires it, but the healthy fear. Dread and fright. I don't know about you, but if God came down in his full glory right now, how many are Mr. and Mrs. Brave in here? Ready to walk up to him and say, hey, God, high five on the side. That's where it is today. I tell you what, you know what? If the Lord gave me, if he did that, he'd have to give me the time to move all the chairs so you could all fall flat on your faces. That's the way it would be. We would be afraid to look up because he's so pure and he's so holy and he's so righteous, even though he understands us. But you know what makes the difference? It's so simple. The blood of Jesus. I'm covered with the blood. I'm righteous before him, not because me, because I'm still an old sinner, but Jesus sees the blood of his son over me. Amen? Doesn't that get you exciting to think what Jesus did for us? God gave a warning to the angels and for the seven churches. The angels are, for example, in Matthew 11:10. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. I thought it was interesting because the messenger is John the Baptist. And I looked it up in the Greek, and messenger there is angel. John the Baptist is an angel sent by God, a man, to give warning. Amen? They are men sent by the Lord to give instructions on what God is saying. If you fail to hear them and obey them, God will remove your candlestick. The candlestick also for the light, and his furniture and his lamps and the oil for the light, which is in Exodus 35:14. The golden candlestick was used as a light for the priest to be able to worship by in the tabernacle. In the New Testament, Jesus taught that the church was to be the light to the world so people could see how to worship. That's you and I. We are to reflect the light when we're born again and have Jesus living in us. We reflect Jesus to a lost world because Jesus is the light of the world. And when we have Jesus in us, we are to reflect him. Amen? Amen. We're to reflect him in how we live and how we talk and in our actions, our mannerisms, or whatever it is. We reflect the light of the world when we have Jesus in us. That's exciting. How do you reflect Jesus, brothers and sisters, when you're out in the world? How do you and I do it when we leave, when it's no longer Sunday morning in our neighborhoods? How do we reflect? And believe me, I got some weak spots here. I'm just not going to tell you about them. But we deal with all this, and I the Spirit convicts me too, and I know that I got to work. I got to continually work on areas of my life because I know that I'm to reflect the light of Jesus to a lost and dying world. Amen? Am I really heavy this morning? Not really. Matthew 5:14-16, it says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, which is a lampstand, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your God, which is in heaven. I like that because it says that they may see your good works. Any good works that I'm doing it to glorify God, not myself. If churches are doing good works in their community, they should be preaching the gospel to the lost world around them and not drawing attention to themselves as a church. Because that church, a tornado can wipe that off the map within a second. And then where's the church? You glorify Jesus in everything, all of our good works. Again, note the intention of the light. So people may glorify your Father which is in heaven. So people would worship God. This is the purpose of all good works among men, not to draw attention to ourselves. And again, the light, Jesus compared to a city, the light that comes from a city that is set on a hill in the open where everybody can clearly see it. If the light is removed from that city, it will always live in darkness. If we did not come to worship and receive the word of God and obey it, then we are not in agreement with the scriptures. And that's, brothers and sisters, I want to say this to you, and not in any kind of condemnation, and I always got myself included in this, because see, I got to put this together. And I'm already dealing with the thoughts and saying, man, you hypocrite, what are you doing up there, man? Huh? Pastor, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? I tell you what, when we go to church and we hear the word of God preached and we still go out and we live worldly lives, are we obeying the word of God? Are we disobeying it on purpose? When we just came to, and does that make us a make-believe Christian if we come to church and we're preached the word of God but we still go out and live a worldly life? Does the world see us as a true Christian if we're obedient to this word? Yes, they do. But do they see us as a true Christian if we're living the same way they are? They think we're make-believe. And some of them say, I wish that person really was a Christian because I need some hope in my life. Amen? Revelation 2, 1 through 4 says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And has borne and has patience for my name's sake, that labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. See, I believe this is a direct warning from the Lord to return to our first love. This church has lost its heart for soul winning. That's why we want to keep talking about winning the lost. It'll keep your heart fired up. If you are a soul winner, believe me, you have the heart of God. You do. You're walking with the heart of God. Because see, Jesus, that's what he did through his whole short life on this earth for 33 years, is all he was considered about is you and I. That's what he thought about all the way to the cross. That's what he thought about. We cannot be a light without the candlestick, without oil. The candlestick is useless. As very clearly stated by Jesus in Revelation 1:20, the church is represented by the candlestick. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels or pastors of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. The candlestick by itself has no light, but is a vessel designed to bear the light by the burning oil that is fed to the lamps of the candlestick. The oil comes from the two anointed ones, God's word and his spirit working through the church. That's where the oil comes from. If we refuse the word, then there is no anointing, and without any anointing, the yoke is not broken. Is it? We need the anointing. We need the anointing. We can continue to be like the five foolish virgins in chapter 25. We can operate on just a little and be left standing outside the groom's house. That's going to be a scary time. There's going to be people in churches all across the world that when that trumpet sounds, they're still going to be sitting if they're in church. And Christians are gone. We got to keep our hearts right, don't we? Because guess what? Bible tells me God isn't going to live with sin. He ain't going to let sin into heaven. Ain't going to happen. And we need to take it seriously. Or we can be like the five wise virgins and return to our first love and fill our vessels with an anointed prayer and praise and obedience. What good are we doing if God gives you the word and you continue to ignore what it says? What good is it? Amen? What good is it? 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That means to convince of the truth, for doctrine or teaching, for reproof or evidence, for correction, to restore things to their proper use and place, correcting false theories and practices. And then for instruction in righteousness, spiritual righteousness, not our righteousness. Ask yourself something. What will happen if I disobey what I'm asked to do? What will happen? The problems at Laodicea Church in Revelation 3:15 through 19 says, I know thy works, that thou art neither hot or cold. I would that you were cold or hot. So because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee, buy of me gold tried in fire. Thou mayest be rich and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, and therefore, and repent. Like the church of Sardis, Laodicea had fallen into complacency, but this church was also spiritually arrogant in its self-satisfaction. It was the only church about which Christ had nothing good to say. And that's tragic, isn't it? It really is. This is the spirit of this age. People are blind spiritually, and their nakedness means they are without God's covering. We think we have all of God we need, and we think we are spiritually rich because we claim to have the Holy Ghost, but we show little to no power to be a witness. We don't. Do you think we're just like the church in the book of Acts today? Wow! The world was afraid of those Christians. Not because of the Christians themselves, but who they were representing. They walked in the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They were soul winners. They were on fire for Jesus. And I tell you what, when they prayed for the sick, they were healed. The dead were raised. That's the church that the Lord wants to come back for. Not that we have to do miracles, but that we have a true love for Him. Because we really have to ask ourselves, do we really love? Like Jesus said to Peter, Peter, do you really love me? Do you really love God? You've got to ask yourself that. If you and I say that we really love God, do we show that in how we live our life? Do we show that in how we treat each other's here? Do we really love God? Because the Bible says if you don't love the brethren, you don't have the love of the Father in you. And how many know you don't have to like me? But you got to love me. Brother Dave. Is the Lord saying the same thing about the modern church today? Inasmuch as the modern church has left Christ, in fact, serves another Jesus in many churches today. It's not the Jesus of the Bible anymore. 2 Corinthians 5:13, if so be that being clothed with shall we shall not be found naked. And I forgot to read Ezekiel 16:35, Amy. I went over that. Without the white garments of righteousness, the church is spiritually naked. Nakedness is a symbol of spiritual shame and worthlessness. Ezekiel 16:35 says, wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because thy filthiness was poured out and thy nakedness discovered through thy whoredom with thy lovers and with all the idols of thy abominations and by the blood of thy children which thou didst give unto them. The Laodicean church was spiritually blind. Of course, its members thought they could see clearly, thought they were rich and without any needs. But Christ counseled them to apply a spiritual eye salve so that they could see how far they had fallen. In short, they needed to be earnest and repent. In Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. See, the eye salve is this, the word of God. We need to read it and apply it and live it. Eight reasons when and why God chastises. When we refuse to hear Him, when we commit iniquity, when men provoke God, when they forsake God, when men refuse to judge themselves, when they stubbornly rebel, and when men sow to the flesh, and when His children need instruction and correction. That's when He chastises us. When we are hearers of the word, but we are not doers of the word, we refuse to obey the word of God. We obey what parts that we want, and the rest we completely ignore. We fail to apply this word. The ISAV is the word of God. We can't pick and choose when we read it. If we don't like it, we have to take the whole word. God doesn't eliminate any part of his word. Man does, though. They're doing that today. And I just read on the internet another new translation that's coming out, by the way, now, too. Another one. There will be many more, but another one coming out. It's written now to be like going to a play when you read it, where, like, say, for instance, when Adam said to Eve, you woman, you gave me that apple. That's how it's going to be worded, with eliminations and additions, of course. Is that me buzzing? Unless we follow the Spirit of God and keep his commandments, then what we accomplish in the flesh will prosper us nothing. The church does not show forth the power of Christ in the Holy Ghost. The church is half-hearted, but that it works are barren of God's power. The church reflects human ways, not Christ. We are too far from the living water that is desperately needed from him. John 4:10-14 says, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it was that saith thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee the living water. That's unfailing and eternal water, by the way. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank there of himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I'm still thirsty. But you know something? The water that Jesus gives me, when I allow that living water to flow through me, the Holy Ghost is always putting it back in me, and I'm refreshed so that I can give the word out and out and out and out. And when I can live the life and the power of God is moving through me and the anointing of God is upon me, the anointing there, that springing, that living eternal water is in me and it's moving in me, and I become radical for Jesus on this earth. Amen. John 7:38-39 says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly. That means the hollow of the bowels of the belly, the innermost being or part of man, the soul and the spirit is the seat of the intellect, emotions and desires, shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. See, the image of Christ standing outside and knocking may also imply that the Laodiceans have locked him out of their church. But the metaphor is also a symbol of promise. Christ is waiting outside, hoping the Laodiceans will open to his correction and change their ways. Because Jesus never leaves us or forsakes us. He's always want to woo us back to him, even when we're rebellious. Because I've mentioned different things here today, but it's always us walking away from God and forsaking God, but not God forsaking us. Isn't that awesome? What a loving God we have. Even we're miserable brats, he still loves us. Amen? I remember when my dad, when we were miserable brats, the dad always wanted to keep kicking us, but he still let us in the house to eat, you know? If they do, he will come and share a meal with them, Jesus says in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door. Can you imagine? That's our master. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open that door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Jesus is always ready. He's always ready. The fellowship meal figures prominently as a symbol of togetherness with Christ in the kingdom. Revelation 19:9, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are a true sayings of God. Can you imagine what kind of supper that's going to be? Whew. The food is going to be perfect. Everything's going to be perfect. And the most exciting thing about the marriage in that meal is that Jesus is going to be right there looking at us, ministering to us, speaking to us. It's going to be an incredible time. It's very obvious that we have lost our first love, or that we have moved from hot to lukewarm as the church of Laodicea. Jesus' estimate of the Laodicean church from Revelation 3:17 says, neither cold nor hot. That's how he perceives them. Lukewarm, sickening. You ever drink warm water? Kind of makes you sick, doesn't it? Wretched, miserable, poor, and blind and naked. I suggest that we repent and turn back to God, brothers and sisters. You may say, well, I don't have to do that because, man, I'm already on fire for Jesus. And I'm excited. I'm rip-roaring ready to go because I love the Lord. And every area of my life is so perfect. We need to repent and come to Jesus and ask for forgiveness, because are we winning the lost? Are we sharing the faith where Jesus commanded to go into all the world? Are we doing the things that God asked us to do? To summarize in chapters Revelation 2 and 3, we have seen the deep spiritual problems in the church, the cares of this life, the penetrating power of the society around the members, and wrong spiritual attitudes that blocked out the church's view of Christ to one degree or another. And I watch that all around. I'm amazed how the church is trying to justify a lot of the worldly views that are coming into the church today. Too many members in the seven churches, the world seemed to be the only compelling reality. They had a desperate need to see behind the scenes, as it were, and discover the unseen reality of Christ and God. Members needed to refocus their mind on the real power of the universe, the place where salvation lies in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Revelation takes up this theme in chapters 4 and 5, revealing where the true salvation of the church lies, which is in the heavenly rule of God and the work of the Lamb. The world system of evil to which many were falling prey will be judged by God and replaced by his eternal kingdom, the new heavens and the new earth. That's the rest of the story in Revelation. We need to get our focus back on Jesus. We need to get our focus back up on the heavenly kingdom. Because the very worldly things that are coming in deceitfully that the lion is feeding upon the Christians today is the very thing that's going to be judged by Almighty God. Revelation 2:5, my last scripture. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first work, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. Brothers and sisters, let's not be make-believe Christians. Amen? You may stand. Thank you. Let's not be make-believe Christians. Let's not play games with God, because God doesn't play games with eternal souls. And I want to encourage us as the church, not out of condemnation or anything, that I would ask that the Holy Spirit, even while we're here today standing, we would ask that the Holy Spirit, if there's any area in our lives that we can say, Lord, I need to surrender this to you. I need to give this up to you. I need to change the way I'm doing things, the way I'm thinking, the way I'm treating people, my mannerisms, the secret things in my life. I need to give those up right now. I need to give those to you, Jesus, right now, that I can be this church that truly can say that I love Jesus. That Jesus can't come to me and say, you lost your love of me. What do we hear in the world today with husbands and wives divorcing all around the land and around the world that say, I lost my love, I lost my love. Let's not do that to Jesus. Let's not do that to Jesus. Amen? How many in here would agree with me right now, uplift hands, saying there's areas of my life that I need the Holy Spirit to bring conviction into my heart, not just in church here, but wherever I am this coming week, I need some conviction of the Holy Spirit. Mine's already up. I got two of them up here. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus right now. And Lord, we come to you a needy people, Father. We come to you that we need you, Jesus, to help us to live that Christian life. We need you through the power of the anointing of your Holy Spirit to have the strength to carry out each day. We need the Holy Ghost to give us the ability to live that life in front of our families, in front of our loved ones, in front of our wives, in front of our husbands, in front of our children, in front of our grandchildren, in front of our uncles and aunts, in front of our co-workers, in front of our neighbors, our friends. Lord, help us through the power of the Holy Spirit, not to be make-believe Christians, but true, born-again, blood-bought Christians that have true love for a lost world and for the hurting and the crying and the dying that are all around us. Help us to be ready to step forth and to share your name, Lord, with the world around us as true Christians. And Father, we ask for forgiveness of sins in our lives, and each person here needs to do that personally. That we can come before you and make these requests, and that the Holy Ghost this week, Lord, let it be this week that you will do a new work in our hearts to help us to return to our first love and our desire and our excitement of our salvation and the joy of our salvation to share with a lost world. And we praise you and we thank you for that. And now, Lord, I pray that you would send forth my brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, touch their homes. Meet their needs. Use them for your glory. Bless their lives. Let them find favor in all that they do in this world, Father. Keep expectation in their hearts this week and help them keep looking up, Father. Help them to keep that sense of your soon return should Jesus come even today. And we thank you. We praise you for your goodness and your mercy. And we love you, Father. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Lord bless you. Have a superbious, fantabulous week. Praise the Lord. Glory.